All right, we're going to get a handout, and we're just going to kind of go through that. It's just taken from our membership material that we did in 102, and tonight we're going to be talking about tithing. Yay! Aren't you? Yeah, I got the short straw. So, you know, there's prayer and all these things we talk about, and I get tithing. That's why I got all this space right here, so I can run in case you turn. So we're going to go through it. It was where you'd fill in the blank. I've put the answers there for you because I want you to just have this material with you, and you can go through this later. We're going to go through it together. But it's the habit of tithing, honoring God with our giving. And as you can see there, the first scripture reference is 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, on the first day of each week, set aside some of what you have earned and give it as an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. So tithing, you know, it shows the position God has in our life. It demonstrates the faith in God that we have and builds our faith in Him. It shows our spiritual maturity. It brings us to a deeper relationship with Him. And it's His anyway. So, really, it's His. So there's really not, I don't know if I can sit here. I thought I would just sit here, you know, I thought it'd be cool and I would be more relaxed, but I think I got to stand up. So first thing we're going to talk about is how God reveals my spiritual maturity through my giving. So how my giving reveals my spiritual maturity. So why God wants me to give? There's seven benefits to my life. Giving makes me like God. Genesis 1, 26, 27 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So you and I and everyone on the planet, of every age, gender, color, were formed in the image of God. And so we differ from every other created being because we were created in the image of the Creator. So you and I were created with the potential to exhibit the characteristics of the one that created us and the mark that we bear. So God is love, so we love. God is kind, so we show kindness. And God gives, so we're called to be generous. So you may say, what does the image of God have to do with Christian generosity? Romans 8:32 describes a generous God who wants to graciously bless His children. James 1:17 reminds us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And of course, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So when you and I give, we make a choice to give, we take on the resemblance of the one who created us. Amen?
Amen?
So giving, number two, giving draws me closer to God. And the reference there is Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But, you know, there's this leadership exercise. If you go, if you've been a part of a leadership exercise, there's this one where they gather those, your co-workers around you, and you stand, I don't know if I want to do this or not. Let's do it. Pastor Charles, come on up. Pastor, come here. It's going to be fun. See, we had all this space, so I got to use it. And so there's this exercise that when we, there's, will you stand right here, Pastor Charles? So there's this exercise that when you fall back, you trust the ones that you work with to catch you. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. All right. Stand right there. I want to stand. Stand right there. Face me. All right. Fall anytime, Pastor Charles. Thank you. So see what we... And then that dependence and that bond knows that Charles knows we've got it, right? So when we trust God, it shows our faithfulness in Him that He's got us. Amen?
Amen?
So it's so important to remember that our giving draws us closer to God in that way. It shows that we have faith in Him, that He will provide all that we need. Number three, giving is the antidote to materialism. Number four, I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to skip over that one because that one's, I'm going to let that one sit. Giving strengthens my faith, number four. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of your income, and He will fill your barns to overflowing. Proverbs 3, 5 through 9. See, there's math, there's addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Then there's this advanced math, right? There's trig, algebra, calculus, which I don't mess with. And then there's this supernatural math. And the Bible's full of stories of supernatural math. And it's the kind that will just mess up an Excel spreadsheet because it just doesn't work. You know, it doesn't compute. You can look at it every time. You can do all the formulas you want to, but there's no formula in that Excel spreadsheet for the supernatural math. Amen? And the Bible is full of these stories, but I'm going to give you some of mine. Okay? In fact, I have to go back and I had to write down all these things that happened in this one instance because it was just, again, it would blow a spreadsheet away. So there was a time when Tara and I were living in Nashville that we weren't going to have income for 3 months. Now, we didn't know that, but God knew that. And Tara and I were faithful in our tithing before we got married. That we tithed on our wedding day and ever since. And it's just how we were raised. It's how we were taught. It's biblical truth, and we've always followed it. And it works. So during this time of income, of no income for 3 months, we'd already begin refinancing our house, not knowing we wouldn't have the income. But it was going to reduce our house payment by $300. Plus, you know, when you refinance, you don't have that month of payment for that first month. So then Tara had done some volunteer work, a couple different jobs. Not expecting to get paid, just, hey, I'll do it, no problem. And out of the blue, we got a check for $700 for that one of those and $500 for the other one. And then again, we didn't know we were not going to have income. We were trading cars. So all this was going on, but God knew. So then we were a month without a car payment. And then we forgot about this extended warranty we'd purchased on the car. And they said, oh, well, you get a refund on extended warranty. We got a check for $900 for this extended warranty. So then we're just sitting here. We're blown away. And then we get a tax refund. And it was beyond anything we could have ever imagined. And we were even questioning, like, is this right? And I think we even called a pastor and said, we got this tax refund. And he's like, that's not right. But it was right. And then, so there was another time where we had a home in Nashville. We moved here. We were leasing that home. We were renting that home. And the renters called and they wanted to buy it from us. And we said, sure, we'd love for you to do that. And we had a good relationship with him. And he called and he said, Travis, we'd love to buy it. We just can't get the financing to go through. I don't know what's going on. I've got good credit. I've got a good job. We can't figure this out. And we're just sitting here going, oh, scratching our head. And then I know you can take confessions on Sunday morning, but Wednesday nights, so I assume you do that too. So we had received some additional income that I had neglected to tithe upon. And God revealed that to me. He said, hey, remember this over here? And Tara had thought I had tithed on it, which is not a good thing when you haven't tithed. Plus, you got to go tell your wife that, hey, remember that thing? Well, I didn't tithe on it. But I went to her immediately and I said, I know what the problem is with the house. I know what the problem is with the house. So I told her immediately, I think we prayed. We were in the kitchen. And then we immediately wrote out the check. Just immediately standing right there, wrote out the check for the tithe. I think it was 3 or 4 days later. It wasn't. I don't have the exact timeline. 3 or 4 days later, the renter called me. You know. He said, "Travis, you're not going to believe this. I got a call from my lender. And something happened. It went through. There was a mistake somewhere. And we can buy the house." And they bought our house. Amen. So while you're taking stories about fear, there was a time we were doing our budget, and I hope you do a budget. If you don't do a budget, a monthly budget, if you're married, you don't sit down together, sit down together. This is my financial peace moment. And you have to go through financial peace. If you're not going through financial peace, we're going to start that soon. But make sure you do that. And our budget, we were short. When we were working this out, we were short 10%. Imagine that. So we go, "Hey, there's the issue right there. The tithe. There it is. Right? Problem solved." And I have to tell you, for about that long, we thought, "Oh, there's our problem." And then immediately, both were like, "What are we thinking? We're crazy." So we immediately then said, "No way. Absolutely not. The 10%, God will work out the other. He can do more with the 90 than he can the 100. Than we can do with the 100. So we did that. And God blesses us beyond what we could ever imagine. Right, babe? I heard a story last night. And I thought, well, this fits great. Because right here we're talking about faith. I heard a story last night. And I asked the individual if I could share it. They were telling us a story when they were sitting here. Pastor was talking about one of our mission giving opportunities to, I think it was India at the time. And he prayed, God, and Pastor challenged him, "Pray what you're supposed to give." And he prayed, and God told him the amount. But he didn't have a job at the time, wasn't having any luck finding a job, and knew they'd been living off savings. So he saw every month the account was kind of going down, going down, going down. But he knew the amount he was supposed to give. And so he kind of waited till the last minute. So he knew, when I write this check, I'm going to have $16.54 in my account. But if I don't do it, I am in big trouble. So he said, "Lord, you know there's $16.54 in this account." So he wrote the check, gave it that morning, and within a week, he was offered a job that he didn't even apply for. It just came to him. Amen? So that alone. So there's a clear connection between our generosity and God's provision, supernatural math. Number 5, giving is an investment in eternity. Matthew 6:19-20 says, "Don't store treasures for yourself here on earth, where moths and rust will destroy them and thieves can break in and steal them. But store your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them." Our giving doesn't just position us to receive blessings here on earth. Our giving can matter 500 years from now. Amen? Are you with me? Don't leave. Giving, number 6, giving blesses me in return. Proverbs 11:25, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." So how many like to give? Pastor will be the first to raise his hand. How many like to receive? You just lied right there. You don't like to receive. That's the whole thing. See, I set him up. Pastor loves to give. And you know, a lot of people like this. We love to give. But you can give him something, and he'll give it back or give it away. And it's sometimes aggravating because you go, "Oh, this is the perfect gift for him." And you give it to him, and he just can't stand it. So he gives it away. Or one time, I remember he was given a laptop by his sister. Great laptop. I was excited for him. I went around, and that laptop was gone. I knew it. I was like, "That laptop's gone. I don't know where it is in the world, but it's not in this house. It's not in this office. And I think he said it to Mexico, right? Is that where it went?" But giving blesses us in return. I mean, when I have something even for my kids, you know, when I have something for my kids and I go, oh, they're going to love this so much. I cannot wait to give it to them. Much more than anything that I could ever receive. So giving blesses us. So Philippians 4:19, Paul writes, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And it's just as true today as it was then. So it's important to remember that you can't treat giving as like this heavenly slot machine. Because some of the most important blessings we'll receive are not financial. It's important within the spirit in which we give. And God will bless us in return. But don't, if you need a new car, that's not a reason to give. Because it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get a new car. But God will provide in ways that you see sometimes, in ways you cannot see. He'll bless your home. He'll bless your life. He'll bless your job. He'll bless your health in other ways than just financial. So it's very important to remember that. And then number 7, giving makes me happy. We just talked about that. Acts 20:35. There is more happiness in giving than receiving, which is what I just talked about. So now let's go on to what the Bible teaches about tithing. So what is tithing? Tithing means a tenth part. A tenth part. So what's the difference in a tithe and offering? A tithe is the giving the first tenth of your income. An offering is anything in addition of your tithe. So why should I tithe? A lot of people ask, well, yeah, but, you know, I give. But why should I tithe? There's 8 reasons from God's word why we should tithe. Because God commands it. I think that's a good enough reason right there. We can stop and go home. But Leviticus 27:30 says, a tenth of all your produce is the Lord's, and it is holy. And number 2, because Jesus commended it. Matthew 23:23, New Living Translation says, yes, you should tithe, and you shouldn't leave the more important things undone either. Now, a lot of people, let's talk about this for a minute, because I think it's important to address that a lot of people say, oh, well, tithing was for was the old laws, Old Testament. This is New Testament. This is Jesus talking. And if we take this in context, 23:23 says, in the New King James Version, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, ants, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matter of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the other undone. So if you look close, you'll make no mistake what Jesus is saying and what he isn't saying. He said, whoa, Jesus is renouncing this fakery that was going on, these hypocrites. He said, don't neglect the faith. Don't neglect the mercy and the justice. He's just pressing in here, and he says, don't condemn their commitment in tithing. He didn't condemn their tithing either. Because this is God's chance. He could have said, he could have cleared the decks right here. He could have said, if tithing was important, he could have said, take care of justice and mercy and quit bothering about the tithing. Don't worry about that. But he didn't. He spoke about it. And he recommended it. And he went back and he said, do these, but without leaving the others undone. Amen? So, it's not just Old Testament. And if you need to know more about that, you can email pastor at pastor@capitalchurch.net. And then number 3, tithing demonstrates that God has first place in my life. And then number 4, tithing reminds me that everything I have was given to me by God. So, let's just ask the question, how many are saved in this room? How many have asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior? That covers all of us. So when you ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior, did you say, Lord, come into my heart? I give you my heart and my soul, Lord Jesus. I give you rule over my life, except this part. Did you say, Lord, I give you everything but this over here? Because there's a prayer that there's something I pray to God every day, 99% of the time. And I say, and if I'm in my car, I do it. So if you see me in a red light with my hands up in the air, this is what I'm saying. Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, I give you reign over my life and everything in it. My heart, my soul, my mind, my thoughts, my actions, my marriage, my finances, my children, the position you've given me at the church. Lord, I give you rule over everything and anything. I pray that every day. And it's so important that we remember that we have to put God first in our life, but we have to turn everything over to Him. It's just like this Pastor Charles falling. We have to depend and lean on Him. He will catch you every time, but you have to give it to Him. It's His anyway. We talked about that. Matthew 6:9 is where Jesus teaches us how to pray. It's the Lord's Prayer. Pray for our daily bread. One day's worth of bread. Pray for our daily bread. He said He would provide. So if you remember, the dominant story in much of the Old Testament is about the Hebrew people that were lost, where they were led out of captivity in Egypt. And they were set free, freedom, into the awaited promised land. But they wandered for 40 years in the desert. They were no longer slaves, but they weren't ready for the responsibility of nation status. Okay? So remember how they started to complain? And remember they were like, you know, we were better off back there. You know, we were, at least we knew where our meals were going to come from. I mean, we were slaves, but I think it was better than this. They just started complaining. God heard their cry. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'll send you manna every day. But there were instructions with this. You remember what they were? Take no more than you need for that day. No more, no less. No hoarding. No planning. No stockpiling. Just all that you need for that day. I must be doing pretty good. I got an O out of Charles. So they were simply to trust that He would do what He said He would do. So you're not the first ones to wonder if God would provide. You're not the first one to put a little aside, justifying your fearfulness that God will. Can you take God at His word? Before you become great, before you can have more than you know what to do with, before you risk forgetting who it was that got you out of Egypt in the first place, remember what God said. I will provide. Amen? He will provide. So when you have these thoughts, others have had these thoughts. We know what worked out for them. So remember that. God will provide. Number 5, tithing expresses my love to the Lord. David said in Psalm 116:12, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? Deuteronomy 16:17, each of you should bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Number 6 is God says that refusing to tithe is stealing from Him. I didn't say that. God said that. Malachi 3:8-10 says, God says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you ask, how do we rob you? God says, in the tithes and the offerings, bring your whole tithe to my house. we'll talk about later about where we should give. Where does the tithe go? Number 7, tithing gives God a chance to prove He exists and He wants to bless you. If you don't get anything else, get this. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He loves it when we're generous. A loving God is so proud of you. I've got kids, 3. And our 2 girls, they've got stuff. They've got more stuff than they need, thanks to grandparents. And when they get, well, they've got more than they need anyway. And when they won't share with one another, it just drives us crazy. I mean, I want to take it away and give it away to someone else that will appreciate it. But on the same hand, when they share with one another and they go, oh, come on in here, look at this, let's play with this, let's do this together. Let's play, you know what, you can have this today. And they share with one another and they give generously to one another. I'm the proudest dad in the world. Because that is what it's all about. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. So tithing proves that I love God. John 14:15 said, if you really love me, do what I command. So what should I tithe? You should tithe the first part of what you earn, not the leftovers. Don't store stuff away and go, well, this part over here is God. It's the first part. It's so important. Because, you know, when I was talking about doing the budget, if you budget, and we've determined that we all do, when you budget, the first line item is your income. It's what you bring home. It's what you get. The second line item, when you start deducting your mortgage or your rent, and then everything else that follows, your utilities, the first one following that should be your tithe on your budget. The first thing. If it's not, your budget is wrong. Adjust it immediately and put it first, because it's first. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord, giving Him the first part of all your income. Don't miss that. It's so important. A lot of times, you know, if you get paid on the 1st, and maybe you tithe on the 12th, that's really not giving God the first part, because that means you've probably taken care of a lot of other stuff before you did what the Lord commanded you to do. Where should I give my tithe? Where I worship. Malachi 3:10 says, bring your whole tithe to my storehouse, the temple. You bring it where you worship. If you attend Capital Church and this is where you worship, according to the Word, this is where you should tithe. If you just come here on Wednesday nights and you attend another church, that is where you should tithe. You don't tithe to Joel Osteen. I'm sorry. I love Joel Osteen. You don't tithe to Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham. We give to both of them. But you don't tithe to them. And I've heard some stories. I won't go into it, but it's shocking what people say they're, quote unquote, tithing. And it's not biblical. So I know it's getting really, really quiet in here. But Pastor does a lot. Just take a deep breath and let it out. Because if you attend Capital Church and you consider this your home church, this is where you should tithe. And if you don't, then this is not where you should be tithing. Okay? When should I tithe? In yours, it probably says weekly. That may be the case for some of us. It may not. It's one when you receive your increase or your income. So you may get paid every other week. You may get paid weekly. You may get paid monthly. And here at Capital Church, our salaries, we get paid once a month. That's a tricky budget. So once a month. So mine would say monthly. So you can write in there what yours should be. So how do you remember that? You put it on your budget. use envelopes. If you have been through the Dave Ramsey system, you use envelopes. If you don't use envelopes, you should go through the Dave Ramsey's. This is all a big commercial for Dave Ramsey as well. So make sure you go through that. And then second, I mean, another one here is a point there. It's bolded. Teach your children to tithe. This is so important. And as I was going through this teaching, and I was looking over, and I was writing all this stuff out or going through my past notes, I got to this point, and I just said, Lord, forgive me. Because I don't know that we're teaching our children to tithe like we should. And, you know, it's one of those things where we've got to get back to, and, you know, I'm talking to my wife right now in front of you, but we're going to talk about this later as well, and say, okay, babe, how do we adjust this? Because, you know, I want them to understand and enjoy giving like we enjoy giving. I'll tell you a funny story that happened this morning. They're going to sports camp here, and that's why most of these chairs are cleared out. And there's a challenge. UW Sports comes in, Uncharted Waters out of Colorado. They help us with all the materials. We get all the materials from them. The coaches come in. Well, they also challenge the kids to bring change in. And they bring their change in. If they reach a certain goal, something's going to happen, and they always figure it out. Well, Pastor Troy made this, what I think is brilliant, because I'm going to make sure this happens, is he says if the kids raise $200 this week, which will help Uncharted Waters do sports camps in other countries that can't afford to have them come in. All this goes toward that, and they go to these other countries, and they do sports camp for all these kids, which is a great, great thing, right? Well, so they're going to get $200. If they get $200, Pastor Troy said, I will shave my head. So we will get $200 one way or another. In fact, we might take up a collection tonight just to make sure that happens. And he said if they get $500, you know, he's got this goatee thing that, like, I think he's just in love with. It won't go anywhere. And so he said he'd shave that too. So if anybody wants to help with this. So my kids were so excited about this challenge of Pastor Troy, PT, shaving his head. They said, can we get some change? And they asked their mom, can we get some change? Can we give change? But can we get some out of Dad's change jar? You got to know, I've got a change jar. It's about this big. And I always just dump change in. Everybody have one of these things? You've got it. You just dump the change in. Well, it's getting big, and we've got a specific purpose that this change is going to go for. I'll tithe on it, don't worry. But we've got a specific place that this change is going to go, and it's almost there. We're almost ready to take it to the bank, change it in. Well, the girls come down this morning, and they've got a freezer bag, freezer Ziploc bag, almost full of change. And I'm thinking, where did they get all of them? I mean, I know they got piggy banks, but they have like four and only one I see and three others in the closet. I mean, where did all this change come from? I'm like, girls, where did this change come from? Oh, Mom said we could get some change out of your jar. I said, did you get all of it? No, Dad. I said, look. And they start telling me about PT. He's going to shave his head. I said, you know what? I want to see it happen as much as you do. But go put some of that back right now. And so they got it down, and Madeline's like, Dad, I'll take care of it. So I said, how much of that is yours? None. And you laugh because you relate. You'd probably be in my change drawer too, wouldn't you? And I said, so, okay, all right. Now tomorrow, are you going to bring some tomorrow? Yep. Tomorrow's coming out of your change jar. Okay, Dad. So on the way to sports camp, we had a long talk. And I told him, I said, you know, Daddy loves to give, and I want to give to this, and I want to see these kids have these sports camps. And you know how fun it is to give? And they're still right now in the big receiving part of it. They're not sure about the giving thing. And so, but they like to give, and they love to see others blessed. And so they said, yeah, Dad, yeah, we understand. I said, really, but I want you to make sure that tomorrow, see how much change you got on my jar today? Yeah. I said, I want you to match this out of your jars tomorrow. I said, I want you to give, because as much fun as it's going to be to see PT shave his head, I said, don't worry, we're going to make that happen. I said, as much fun as that is, I said, how much fun is it? How much fun are you having this week? And they're like, we're having a blast. Well, how about these kids? If you don't give, they can't have the fun that you're having this week. They're not going to hear this music. They're not going to get these T-shirts. They're not going to hear these Bible stories or these sports stories. And I said, so you need to give. And when you do that, I said, you're going to feel something inside, girls. And that's from God. I said, he's going to give you this joy inside of you. But you won't get it from giving dad's change out of his church. And I said, I'm so glad. And I poured the money into the thing because I thought, this is so great. And I said, come on, help me. But they're going to do it tomorrow. So it's so important that we teach our children. So if you have kids, if you've had kids and they've grown up, then you may need to call them over and have a talk. It's not too late. So how should we give? We should give with the right attitudes. Just what we just talked about. We should give willingly. 2 Corinthians 9:12 says, for if the willingness is there, your gift is acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. 1 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one of you should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under pressure. And again, it goes back to that story I told you where pastor said, pray about what you should give. This is above and beyond even about our tithe. Your tithe, you should give cheerfully. But even when you're giving your offerings, you should give sacrificially. I mean, they were giving my money today and it hurt. But they should give sacrificially. They know, and we had that talk again back to my kids. We had that talk that, you know, when you give this away, whatever you're saving this money for, you know, they've always got something they want to save for. And I said, when you do that, yeah, it's going to go back, but you know what? God's going to honor that. And you know what? You'll get it faster. You'll get it faster. So 2 Corinthians 8:3-4 says, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Remember the $16.54 that was in the gentleman's account that I was telling you about? That had to be the scariest moment. That had to be the scariest moment to write that check. And he said, I had money for enough for one more lunch with my friends, and that was it. And then you give expectantly, because we know that God will provide. Whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. If you give expectantly, God will provide beyond anything you could ever imagine. He'll provide in the times you didn't think he was going to. Also, when you didn't think he could, he will, because we put these limitations on God because that's just what we do. We should not do that, but we do. And then we do this thing where we say, well, that's great, but there's just no way. How many says always, there's just no way this is going to happen? Again, this supernatural math that we're talking about. And again, it may be expectantly above monetary gifts. Expect that there'll be health in your household. It doesn't mean you're not going to get sick sometimes. We've been through a bout in our house. It doesn't matter. The devil's still fighting. But give expecting that you're more than conquerors. Amen? So give expectantly that God will do his part. So if you think your gifts are, in the grand scheme of things, are just, you know, Pastor Travis, they really don't count. I mean, if you could see what I would give as my tithe. You know, maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe you're struggling with this commandment that God gives. I mean, maybe you think that my giving won't count for much. Maybe you think that, you know, it might work, but I can't risk it. You know, I can't risk it because you don't understand. You don't understand the fear. And I do, but it goes back to having the faith in God to make those decisions. Because he sees much more than the amount we give. He sees the spirit in which we give it. There's stories here of pastors told someone from the pulpit of somebody coming in and giving. We know that they don't have anything to give, but they gave sacrificially. And that one story you told, Pastor, I want to tell it where, I mean, if I don't get it right, correct me, is where that someone came in and pastor is like, he knew that they should not be giving this. And he called them back, but then God corrected him and said, you're going to rob them of a blessing. And it's so true. It's so true. So when we give, he sees the spirit in which we give it. So it doesn't matter the amount as far as what that tithe is or what your offering is or what that sacrificial giving means to you. But he sees the spirit in which you give it. So when you give with the right motives, he's pleased. When you act in generosity, God smiles. Like a proud father, like I said, that delights in the unselfishness of his children, he delights when you give and when we share. So when you give, give with the right motives, give your best, he'll be pleased. Because he wants you to be generous, because he is generous and he created us again in his image. Amen. So there's this, I wasn't going to tell this, but I think I will. I love this story. A couple things. One, I think you've heard me say it here, but you know, if you live a life like this, there's some security in that, because you know whatever is in this hand is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. You got it. It's not getting away. But that clenched fist, nothing, even this pen, nothing's getting in here. Nothing. But if I live my life like this, stuff can go out. I can take care of everything I need to take care of. But look what can come in. Everything can come in as well. So don't live your life like this. Don't live your life holding on. Don't live your life in doubt. Live your life in faith that God can fill, God can meet your need, no matter what it is. There's a story of this man that was lost in the desert. He was about to drop dead of dehydration. And then suddenly he just saw this oasis. Whoa, chair. Suddenly he saw this oasis. And he got there, and there was this well sitting there, a water pump, and a pail. And it had water in it. And just about the time he was getting ready to just drink this water, because he could barely even swallow. There was a little sign that said right there, it says, use the water in the pail to prime the pump. So he could instantly have gratification from this thirst he was having, from his need that he had. Or he could take the little that he had, he could prime that pump, and there would be endless water coming out of it. So, I don't know where you are. I don't know if it just scares you too much to take the water that you've got and put it into this pump, to put it in God. Can you stand? Can you fall? Do you believe God will catch you? Do you believe he's got you? Do you believe what his word says? It's so important that we live a life of obedience, because a pastor once said obedience leads to abundance, and we have to live a life that way. We have to live a life that we live fully dependent on him, because if we believe that truth, and we, when you said, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you everything, if you haven't done that, give him everything, because it's worth it. You won't be disappointed. You might survive a little bit for a little while on the thing you set aside. But if you give everything to him, it won't even matter today much as it will matter even 500 years from now, or matter when you get to heaven, because you're storing treasures in heaven with how we live here. There's a commitment prayer there. I'm not going to read this prayer. If you struggle in this area, I want you to make it right with God, because He wants to bless you in ways you can't contain, in ways you can't imagine. But if that's you and you say, you know, I love coming to this church. This is my church. I haven't been tithing. I give. But I haven't been doing as you described tonight. Then I want you to just take time and repent, because you've been robbing God. I'm sorry. According to His word, you have. And you have been disobedient. And that's tough. But God says, come to me. Come here. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We're going to start right now. Don't worry about all that. It's okay. So if you need to pray this prayer, pray it in your quiet time. We're not going to do it right now. But that's just between you and God. This is a personal thing. We don't check who tithes, who doesn't tithe here, unless you're in leadership. If you say you're a member here, we expect you to. But if you're in leadership here, then we do make sure that you're tithing, because there's certain things that you must do. And we want to make sure that you're living a godly life, biblical life. So this is between you and God. This is personal. But don't miss this. Don't miss the truths that are in God's word about what He wants to do in you and through you with what He has given you. Not what you have. It's not yours. It's His. So don't miss that. Lord, we just thank You tonight, Father. We thank You for Your word. Father God, we thank You for the truth, Lord Jesus, in Your word. We thank You, Father, that You, Lord, You prepare our hearts. Father, you take away the fear that the devil tries to whisper in our ear about our finances. Lord, the confusion that the devil tries to make upon what Your word says, Lord, we try to lay this out tonight clearly, Lord, with clarity as best as we can. Father God, give us hearts and ears to hear what Your word says, Lord Jesus. We know You love us, Lord Jesus. But Lord, we can't even imagine how much You love us. Father God, we can't even imagine how much You want to bless us. But Lord, let us see that, Lord Jesus. Let us trust in You more. Let our faith rise, Lord Jesus. Let us step out, Lord Jesus, and trust You with everything we have. Father God, that's the thing, Lord. We just want to trust You with everything, Lord. Everything, Lord. We just raise Your hands tonight toward heaven. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I give You everything in my life. Take away the fear that's held me back, Father. Father God, help me to trust in You more. I give You my life. Lord, I give You my finances. I give You my heart, my soul. I give You reign over my household. Father God, I release it all to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.